Hey, Better Leaders, it's Danny Sunshine Bauer, and I have a quick message I want to share with you. If you're not new to this show, if you're a longtime listener, you've heard me talk over and over again about masterminds. It's a hybrid group coaching and leadership development community that I created specifically for school leaders. They are blowing up. They're going bananas right now, and they're so popular, I've actually opened a third group. What I want you to know is this. Starting May 6th, the membership is increasing. And so if you want to lock in the best deal, the best rate you'll ever get, you need to act now. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com, type mastermind in the search box, and a bunch of podcast episodes as well as blog posts will pop up and you can learn about the value of a mastermind. By now, if you're ready to join, then I want you to go to the website betterleadersbetterschools.com/MM for mastermind. Lock in that rate because I'm telling you, May 6th, the membership increases. Today's show is brought to you by School Spirit Vending. School Spirit Vending has a hassle-free year-round fundraising program for schools. You can learn more at schoolspiritvending.com.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
In today's show, I'm joined by Jethro Jones, host of the Transformative Principal podcast and the mind, the brains behind the Transformative Leadership Summit that we put together last summer, summer of 2016. We'll be doing it again, so there's a link. You can sign up in the show notes. And thank you so much for listening. Never take it for granted and enjoy the show. Hey, Better Leaders, I am here with what we often say, my brother from another mother, Jethro Jones, a host of the Transformative Principal podcast, current principal. And we also did the Transformative Leadership Summit, which we're in talks of figuring out how to make that happen again. But Jethro, thank you so much for joining me on the show for part two.
Oh, man, I am so excited. I just love talking to you, and you are right, brother, from another mother. Every time we get together, I just feel like we're speaking each other's language. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, you know, developing a relationship with you, and not too many people have been a second invitee back to the show. But now, you know, we've been doing it for a while and started to ask some folks back. So it's cool to connect with you again. The pre-chat, you know, we were talking about, you know, different things in life and some of my stuff I have to keep clouded in mystery right now. But, you know, you've got some big changes coming up. So that's exciting. I'm excited for you. But, you know, you did some really special things at your school at Kodiak Middle. And I think one of those is a school experience you'd like to talk about. So can you unpack that a little bit for listeners? You know, what school experience means to you and how you define that school experience at Kodiak Middle?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I came to Kodiak Middle School 3 years ago and really came into a school that had a lot of good things going for it, a lot of good things in place and good achievement, all that kind of stuff. And my superintendent said, you know, we got to work on some things at this school. We need some structure, we need some organization, and we need some things to be kind of tightened up, you know. And so I've done that. And I was recently talking to my staff and had already decided that this was going to be my last year at Kodiak Middle School and that I was looking for a new opportunity. And what I did is I created a list of all the initiatives and things that we had put in place since I had come to the middle school. And in less than 3 years, get this, we did 34 initiatives or changes at the school. Can you believe that?
No, that's a lot. I mean, 34, I mean, that's you know, just over 10 a year, 11 or so.
Yeah.
It's quite a bit of change. And I know that change is hard. I'm learning that as a baby principal. So how do you shepherd people through that process? Because 34 initiatives, you know, looking back, that's a lot. And I'm wondering, you know, were people overwhelmed? Like, how did they take their medicine, so to speak, and implement that change?
Yeah, great question. And this really goes back to the question that you asked before that I didn't actually answer, which is about the school experience. So when I got there, we started talking about, from the teacher's perspective, what do we want to stop, start, and continue? And we got all their ideas and took them, and a lot of them were looking for leadership, strong leadership that would give us a vision and go. And that's exactly what I did. And the way that I framed it was really about making sure that the school experience is worthwhile. And what does that mean? That means that the things that we're doing, the way that we experience the school is really beneficial. And so I break it up into four areas. What's my own experience like at the school? Do I love going to work? Am I productive at work? Am I sharing my leadership with others? Am I communicating effectively? All of those things are things that define what my experience is like. But we also looked at what the student experience is like. What are the students experiencing when they come to school? And we did a bunch of things to make sure the students had a unique, powerful experience. Jimmy Casas talks a lot about when he meets with kids at his high school that he worked at, he would ask them four questions. And I hope I get it right, but it's basically, what do you like about the school? What's different about this school? The third one I don't remember. And the fourth one is, what can I as the principal do to help you at this school? And so I really took those and try to focus those into what is the experience that our students are having. And then it also impacts the experience that the teachers are having. Do they have the freedom to make choices and decisions and be supported in those? Do they have the flexibility to use their time how they want? Do they have the flexibility with standards, with curriculum, with teacher choices that really get at the art of teaching? And can they be artistic in what they're doing? And then do they have the tools to be able to meet the needs of their students? That's what we're all there for. So do they have those tools? And then finally, the parent experience. What is it that the parents experience as being part of our school? Do they have opportunities to come in and volunteer? Are community members invited in to be part of the school in different ways? Are they getting good communication to them about the things that are happening at the school? All of those things create experience for those different stakeholders. And then the school experience is defined by each of those four sub-experiences in each stakeholder area.
That's good stuff. And you know what Jimmy is talking about is, like, I think you said, what do you like about the school? What do you not like about it? And the fourth one was like, how can I support you sort of at the school? I wonder if that third question was, what do you wish the school would be? You know?
Yeah.
Like, here's what you like, here's what you don't like, but what do you wish it could be? I don't know if that's right or wrong, but I think that'd be a powerful question to ask the kids for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And we definitely did ask the kids what kinds of things they wanted to have as part of their school. And so from that came these awesome things like tutorials where we gave kids choice throughout the day. We did home visits where we went to the kids' homes and we visited them before school started, every single kid. We started doing trauma informed practices at the middle school. We developed an RTI system so that students could get the help that they needed when they needed it and not have to wait around or fall through the cracks. We got flexible seating in our schools. Teachers were part of committees, all kinds of stuff. Great things that helped our stakeholders all feel like they had a more important role in the future of the school.
Of those 34 initiatives, what do you think you were the most proud of?
Oh, man. I think there are a couple. One that I am just so ecstatic about is the fact that we did these home visits to our students' houses. Before school started, the day before a new teacher orientation, all of our new teachers had arrived on the island and they didn't know anybody or anywhere. And you move to a new place, you don't know anything about it. What we did is we went and we visited all the kids in our school. And we organized into pairs. So a new teacher was going with somebody who knew the island a little bit better, gave them all addresses of where everybody needed to go. And then we went and we just said hello to the kids, told them we were excited for them to come to school and couldn't wait for school to start. And we're glad that they're part of our school. The reason why we did that is because we take a thing called School Climate and Connectedness Survey every year, and it was showing a downward trend and our students' perceptions of having caring adults at the school. So they believed that the number of caring adults was decreasing over the past 5 years. I was not okay with that, and my teachers weren't okay with that. So we decided that we needed to do something to make sure they knew that we cared. So our first exposure to our students was to go to their house, tell them we're excited for them to come to school. And what a powerful experience that was, Daniel. I just cannot tell you how cool and fun that was. And the not everybody thought we could do it. And everybody was like, you're not going to be able to visit all the kids. That's crazy. But we did it, and we did it in one day, got everybody out there, and it was just an amazing experience. So I do want to tell you one really awesome story that I think was the best experience we had.
Yeah, we love stories. That's great.
Oh, so we have a large Coast Guard base here on the island, and we had a student who had moved out here and they couldn't get a house yet. They were in the Coast Guard. They drove a an Airstream trailer behind him and camped in that along the way, all the way from Florida to Alaska, about as far as you can drive. And they got here and they didn't have a house yet. And sometimes Coast Guard puts people in hotels if the housing isn't ready yet, things like that. But this family didn't get in a hotel. They had their Airstream. And so they were just camping in the Airstream in a campground on the Coast Guard property. And we found out that that kid was living there. So we went to that student's house, which was a trailer, an Airstream, on the Coast Guard property. And we made sure that even that kid knew that they were loved and cared for. So imagine going to a new middle school all the way across the country and not even having a home to live in yet. And yet your school still finds you and says, we're excited for you to be here. I got to tell you, man, that was so powerful, knowing that that kid didn't have to worry if anybody knew who he was or didn't have to worry about going to school and not seeing a familiar face. He had two familiar faces that he was going to be able to see. And we were able to do that because we were paying attention and caring about kids and going and finding and making sure we knew where he was and that he knew that we knew where he was.
I love that story. And it just shows too, I mean, one kid is worth it, right? Like, you know, somebody going through a tough time or whatever, they could be your best student too, but it's just one kid, right?
Yeah.
But it makes all the difference in the world to show that student that they're loved and that they're a part of the community.
Yep. And I'm going to remember that story for the rest of my life. I hope that he does too. And I hope that it made as big an impact on him as it did on me.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Hey, Jethro, I'm going to ask you a tough question. So, you know, we talk about what you're most proud of in terms of those initiatives. Now that you're transitioning out, what do you wish you could have accomplished now that you're transitioning?
Oh, that's a really great question too. You know, when you go into a new school or a new anywhere, there are relationships that develop. And sometimes those relationships start off on the wrong foot. And a lot of times through working with people and talking, you can repair those relationships. And there are a few relationships that I was not able to repair in my time here. There was still distrust, there was still suspicion, and there was still difficulty in communicating. And you know, I don't know how I could have changed that, but man, I wish that I could, because being able to change that would give those people with whom I still struggle to communicate, with whom I still have a difficult relationship, would have given those people such a better experience at my school had I been able to do that. And I'd say that's my biggest regret, and the one that, you know, that haunts me everywhere I go. Whenever I have a relationship that I can't fix, it's just so difficult. And relationships matter so much in education. They matter with kids, with parents, with students, with your supervisors. And not being able to repair that in a short amount of time so that we were at least rowing in the boat together is just a tragedy in my mind. And I wish I knew how I could go back and fix that. But what I'm going to do going forward is I'm not going to make the same mistakes that I made. And I've learned a lot about communication in every position I've ever held. And I'm going to get better at it. I'm going to continue working. I know what I did wrong. I'm not going to make that mistake again in the future.
I'm starting to get very interested in tactics and how people, you know, organize their days. And I know you got a bunch of rugrats at your place too. So I'm really curious.
Sure thing.
You know what? I was looking. I don't know if it's live or not, so hopefully I'm not spoiling the beans, but you had me beta test something that you were doing through email and helping people create an ideal week. So I know a little about the answer to this question, but can you explain to the listeners, what does the first hour of your day look like? Do you have any types of morning routines or rituals?
Yeah. So that is actually live. You can go to transformativeprinciple.org/idealweek and you can check that out. You can get in on that and learn about how I set up my ideal week. And ideal means here's my dream, but it doesn't mean that it's always perfect. And so you do your best, and having a plan makes it a lot better. But my morning routine since the new year, because this is something that I've added in, starts with journaling, a gratitude journal, which I learned from you. And I followed you on Snapchat and you would share little snippets of what you were doing. And then I got that book by Tim Ferriss called Tools of Titans. And he talks about...
Oh man, is that a good one?
Good stuff, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he talks about morning routines in there and how to set one up and what to do. So I've been doing that and I've changed that a little bit. I write in the morning. And then at night, I write also. But my questions at night are a little bit different. My questions are at night, because I'm a spiritual guy, I ask, what is one thing that I did today that made me grow spiritually? So I answer that question. And the second one is, what is something that fascinated me today? And so those are my two evening questions. And the morning is, what am I grateful for? What's my daily affirmation? What must I get done today? And what would make today great? And then those are the questions I ask in the morning. And doing that over the last little bit has really helped me stay focused, be successful, and get the things done that I need to. What I'm waiting for is John Lee Dumas's Mastery Journal. He's from Entrepreneur on Fire. I joined his Kickstarter, or pledged to his Kickstarter, to get the Mastery Journal, because I think that's what I'm ready for next.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I haven't checked that one out, but I know he had the Freedom Journal, and his podcast was an inspiration for, you know, what I'm doing with Better Leaders. But man, that Tools of Titans book. Listen, listeners, if you don't know Tim Ferriss, great podcaster there.
Yeah.
Just a really very interesting human being. But that is a really cool resource. It'll definitely push you, just your intellectual capacity, what you think is possible. It might just ruin your life too. You might question everything you've ever done and want to, you know, change it all. So read with a warning. That's a Better Leaders and a Transformative Principle warning to our listeners. But good text for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's cool is that you don't sit down and read all the way through. You find something you want to learn about, see if it's in there, and then read that section. That I found has been an awesome way for me to do it.
Yeah, super cool way to organize it. And to tell you the truth, in July, I've got about four book ideas. And the one that I think is safe to say on the show would be one about what I've learned through creating the blog and the podcast. And I think he gave me a blueprint of one way I could potentially try to organize it. Because like you said, it is so useful. You don't have to read it from page one to page whatever. And you could just skip around to content that you would find useful. The scary part is, like, how do I do it? Do I pay a VA, you know, to transcribe all the podcasts? Do I re-listen to all of them and try to code them and pull out the themes? But that is a summer project for me. And I don't know. I'm scared, but I'm to try it out.
Well, talk about Brother from Another Mother.
Yeah.
That's also a blueprint for me and my podcast that I've thought about doing as well. So, I mean, I think there's plenty of room for both of us to write that book.
Oh,
I don't know
sure.
if my summer is going to be available for that or not, but that is definitely something that is a possibility. And just the wisdom that is in there. And, you know, the people that we've interviewed on our podcast, I mean, there's so much good information. I just can't tell you. These 34 things that I've done at my school since I came, guess where I got the majority of them?
The podcast.
Exactly. The people that I interviewed who helped me learn and grow. I was focused and tried to learn these new things. I was able to pass those on to my teachers and my students and my parents to make their school even better than it already was. And it was already a great school. So it's just amazing how much we learn from doing this. And I mean, I'm blown away by how much I've learned. This is way better than any master's program, probably any doctorate program, as far as what you're learning from doing it. You're asking the exact people the questions that you need to be better in the moment that you need them. Boom, just like that. There's your answer.
So right. And so, hey, listeners too, I mean, hopefully by now, you know, you're familiar with Jethro's work, but his podcast, the Ideal Week resource, the book he mentioned, Tools of Titans, that'll all be linked up for you in the show notes. Even a Transformative Leadership Summit, which right now is just a page. You can sign up and get notified once we really start rolling out the content and when you could get signed up for the actual leadership summit.
Yeah. And that's it. TransformLeadershipSummit.com. You can go sign up there and that'll be real easy for you to get informed of when that's going to be. That's going to be like an amazing experience. We had New York Times bestselling authors last year, kings and titans of education. I mean, and I think it's going to be even better this year.
As a principal, I know one of the biggest challenges that I face is figuring out how to raise more money for my school so I can impact my students and help them get the resources, the programs that they desperately need. That's where School Spirit Vending comes in. And I know the owner, Matt Miller. He's an excellent guy. He was a guest on episode 5. And I'm encouraging you, the listener, to check out School Spirit Vending in their hassle-free year-round fundraising program at schoolspiritvending.com. I think we haven't talked about it, but let's record another show so we can really unpack, you know, what value the people will get attending the virtual summit. And we can reflect on, you know, what it was like putting together the first one. Cause I mean, we had a ton of guests, and so I don't want to get too much into it cause I have some questions I really want to ask you, but we'll do another show on that one.
Yeah, no problem.
So Jethro, when you think of the word leader, who's the first person that comes to your mind?
Well, you know, on that one, I'm going to have to go with my dad. That might be a cheesy answer, but
not cheesy at all. Yeah, tell us more.
My dad, he taught me how to serve other people. And when I was a kid, every Saturday we were helping somebody move, picking oranges at the church's orange grove that we lived by, doing something to help somebody else out, never asking for money. My dad didn't work, but was out of work when I was young. And so we would just serve others. And I'm sure people were helping us out that I didn't know about. I'm positive of that. But he was serving every chance he got, and just such a kind person and service first all the time. It was really a great way to show how to be a true leader by serving others.
Concerning school leadership, Jethro, what have you changed your mind about in the past few years?
Ooh, that's kind of a fiery topic.
yes.
Well, I used to think that charter schools were bad for public education, but I've gotten to know a few people who work in charter schools lately, and I actually think it's not that bad. So sorry, public educators who hate charter schools, but there's some pretty cool things happening. My buddy Kevin Barker down at Ridgeline Academy in Phoenix is doing amazing things, and just incredible what's happening down there. He's working with his kids so that they're on the MAP assessment, which we take at my school too. All the kids are up in the high growth, high achievement on his scores. He's shown them to me. I've seen them. And my kids are not there yet, but I know it's possible because it's out there. And boy, I would love to get that secret sauce and help my kids be performing at that level.
Yeah, we can't lump them in, you know, and generalize. Because every public school is not great, and neither is every public school failing.
That's right.
So same thing with charters. You know, there's some real terrible ones out there, but there's some that is, you know, doing exceptional work as well.
Absolutely.
Hey, so I'm not going to ask about the book. We talked about Tools of Titans, and I think we've talked about what you do for fun. Here's a new question. If you could automatically be good at something, what would that be?
Automatically be good at something. I think for that, I would have to say if I could automatically be good at communicating better through writing, that's what I would do. That's something you know that I've struggled with because I asked you to help me on things, and you've done a great job, and that's a skill set that you have that I just read every one of your emails and think, how can I be more like Daniel in that regard?
Speaking of emails, podcast listeners, if you're not on the email newsletter I send out, go to betterleadersbetterschools.com and you can sign up right at the top. Over 1,100 school leaders just like you get that message daily. So check that out.
And it's good, inspiring stuff too.
Ooh,
I'm not gonna lie.
I like that. Last question, because I know we're coming up on time for you. Your son had, what was he doing? Wrestling?
Wrestling. 7 years old and he loves wrestling.
That's awesome. So last question I want to end with is, what message, and speaking of Tim Ferriss, I sort of adapted this from his show. What message would you put on all school marquees if you could for a day?
I would say, who have you helped be better today?
I like it. Who have you helped be better today? Well, Jethro, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast.
Yep.
Do you have any parting words of advice? And what is the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, I think you're doing the right thing by listening to this podcast. I think you do another right thing by listening to mine, Transformative Principle. And just, you know, go out and help someone have a better day today, I think would be my parting word of advice. And then you can get a hold of me at Jethro Jones on Twitter or TransformativePrinciple.com.
Well, Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Jethro. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Jethro in the search bar. Show notes page will pop up. You'll get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. Jethro, thanks again for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
My pleasure. Thank you, Daniel, as always.
Better Leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Have you gotten value from today's show? Help me reach even more listeners by leaving a 5-star rating and review. Click the podcast artwork and press the Show Some Love link to leave an honest rating and review. A long, long time ago in a galaxy far away, patrons would sponsor artists to create something the patron valued. Would you consider becoming a patron of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast? If you found this podcast valuable, if the show has pushed your thinking about leadership, and if you've benefited in any way, then I would be honored if you would become a sponsor. Sponsorship is easy. Head over to patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes to become a patron for as little as $1 a month. If you pledge 10 bucks a month, I'll send you one of my favorite leadership books every other month. That's patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes. Do you have a question or need some leadership advice? I want to connect with you. I read every email, tweet, snap that's sent to me. Links are in the show notes to connect via email and social media. Better Leaders, Better Schools is a proud member of the Edu Podcast Network, podcast for educators, podcast by educators. You can listen to more great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.